Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us this afternoon. My name is Sean Squires. I'm a program manager on the SharePoint Experiences team, and this is my esteemed colleague, Vesa.
Hello, my name is Vesa Juvonen. I'm a senior program manager as well in the SharePoint engineering. Not in exactly the same team, I'm in the extensibility team, so APIs and all of that.
That's right, but we work very closely together. We're also going to be working probably very closely together over the coming year with some of the stuff we're going to show you towards the end of the afternoon around what we're doing and thinking about with SharePoint site templates. So we say that this is learning best practices, but in fact what we're going to do is talk about a few key practices and specifically just sort of a bit of a historical lesson, kind of like where we're at today. We've given you certainly a plethora of site creation options and site customization options over the years. So we're going to briefly survey those and talk about what's available specifically in O365. We are not going to be talking much about on-prem. Some of the stuff we will be talking about applies to on-prem, but a lot of our investment and focus of today's session is going to be on O365. We're also going to talk about some of the customizations, some of the lightweight customizations that you can do today in product, and also frame that up to talk about some of the challenges that these existing features present and some ways that you can work around those by taking advantage of the object model and talking about something that probably many of you in this audience are familiar with, the patterns and practices work that Vesa has largely been heavily involved with the last couple of years, and specifically the partner pack. And then finally, we're going to talk about some of the new site provisioning. For those of you who have seen some of the keynotes at the beginning of the week and also some of the deep dives that my colleagues have been showing the last few days, some of the new stuff that we're doing and how that plugs in, some of the new site creation stuff that isn't yet available in the tenant, but we'll be talking a little bit more deeply about what that involves and when it's going to be available and what we're looking at next in the coming year. So the main thing we want you guys to get out of today is that, yes, there are options. We have some preferred practices that we think, based on what we've done, what's been done internally at Microsoft, and certainly partners that we've worked with, what seems to work well for them. But we also want to make it clear that just like Jeremy, for those of you who attended Jeremy Masner's talk on the future of team sites and the modern team sites, we are very committed to you guys by providing a platform for customization. We get all too often the refrain, love what SharePoint is, but I don't want it to look like SharePoint. So just even from a branding and from a feature specific need that you have for your business processes, I want to let you know that the things that we're looking at investing as we modernize and reinvent the SharePoint space here, that we are paying attention and hearing that feedback. So please keep it coming as well. And then finally, I would just also want to reiterate that while we're talking about templates, you can't talk about templates without talking about the creation, the provisioning experience as well. And that's why it's such a fundamental component of this workflow. And want to give you guys, again, that preview of what it is and where we're going with it, okay? So this is what we're going to cover today. Brief survey, as I said. We're going to talk a bit about some of the remote site provisioning pattern and how that's being used and what's available to you guys today. And then finally, I'm pleased that we have our colleagues from 3M here, and they have graciously offered to come up and share with you guys some of the work that they're doing around the request to site space and what they're doing to solve it and how they're building on PNP. And then finally, I'll talk a little bit about that roadmap. So now is your chance to leave if this is not the talk you thought we were going to give. All right, awesome. Glad you're sticking around. All right, so let's talk about site templates first. Let's lay the foundation here. Come on, there we go. So you've probably seen flavors of this slide in various talks by Microsoft and Microsoft partners over the years. Vesa and I are gonna pick on a couple of these, but I think the main thing that I wanted to call out to you guys here is that we have a lot of site provisioning options that we've offered to you over the years. As the product has evolved, as the tech and our approach to what we want to provide for you guys and how we provide it has evolved, the options have changed and evolved as well. As you can see here, one of the things I want to do is also make it clear, because a lot of our cloud-first investment and focus, there are options that some of you who have been in the SharePoint space for a long time might be familiar with that are really more of an on-prem offering. They're not available for the cloud. So things like server-side provisioning and site definitions, not even an option in the cloud these days. Now, You'll see here that we also are sort of starting to give you an indication of where our bias is as well when we start looking at the O365 options. You know, the things that you can do with site templates and web templates, some of that is available in the product today. Matter of fact, those are the options that are available to you today, unless you have the ability to, you have developers or the resources to go and do some of the stuff with the object model to do richer and deeper customizations or post configuration. The challenge that we're highlighting here very briefly is with the site templates and web templates is that there isn't a great site collection story. And as you've heard from others this week, a lot of the new site provisioning work that we're doing now is moving away from creating a subsite by default during self-service site creation, but rather giving the user a group connected site collection, okay? So already you're probably going, well, Sean, then site templates aren't exactly gonna work for us anymore, are they? No. Not in their current model, which is part of the reason why we're here today to share with you guys, hey, as we evolve the self-service site creation model, we realize in order to give you the configurations and customizations you need, we need to provide you a new platform and a new mechanism by which to do some of that configuration. And that's where the remote provisioning comes in. Anything else you want to add here?
Yeah, I think Sean summarized it really well. So, and we're going to talk about this one in a few slides even more. But
absolutely.
If you think about the site templates and web templates is kind of a variation of a site template. It's a site template which is created in Visual Studio because you can actually do that, and then you don't have certain limitations. But they're always for the sub-site. You have
That's
to
correct.
Have that site
yeah.
collection. That's one side of the story. And there's a few other kind of limitations around the site templates which we're going to touch within the following slides, right?
I am indeed, yeah. And in fact, I know that we're also going to go old school and take a trip down memory lane because I'm going to show you guys some of this stuff just so you can understand that, yes, there are some things that you can do, and I know customers take advantage of that. And we also want you to understand that we're looking at how we can start to evolve that. So just a real quick, what is a site template? I mean, probably not a foreign concept to any of you in this room, but the way I kind of think of it is it really is this pre-built definition, this blueprint. You know, we provide you guys a bunch of out-of-box ones, right? The classic team site, the classic publishing site, the community site. I was reminded and shocked. I've been working on SharePoint myself for over a dozen years, and I remember back in the 2007 days. Anybody remember the Fab 40, right? Yeah, yeah. So we used to offer a lot of flavors of templates to you guys, and we actually started to move away from that model, largely because it was difficult to maintain, it was difficult to upgrade, and there was some confusion about, like, hey, this is great, this still only meets 80% of my need because I have some very specific business processes that this template doesn't allow me to do. But it is very much focused around features, less around design. Design, even in the current product, is managed a little bit differently through our branding options. If you guys were able to catch Tejas's and Dan's, Eric's talk yesterday, they talked about the things you can do to brand a site. Obviously, you also have design packages and things like that. So everything we're really focusing on here with templates is around the actual configuration of the site itself. And what's interesting about site templates is they are actually a classic solution package that gets saved locally to the site collection and can be used to create those subsites. How many, just a quick show of hands, how many people have used the Save Site as template or tried to? I hope most everybody, no? Is the Save Site as template concept, is there anybody in the room, if you're willing to share, like raise your hand, say it's a completely foreign concept and that's why you're here today? Okay. So I'm gonna assume the rest of you who didn't raise your hands because it either A, didn't meet your needs, or it was either insufficient or you haven't really had need for it yet. So fair enough. It is actually the way that we allow you to do essentially some flavor of customization within the product. This is essentially a visual. I'll show you the real thing in just a moment, but the intent here of this slide is just to kind of lay out. This is what the UX looks like today. It's an actual site setting that allows you to go ahead and configure a particular site that you have, a site collection that you have, and actually save it as a template. And it gets saved as a WSP file in the local solution gallery. And then what you can do is you can go ahead and invoke that when you're creating subsites to essentially apply those customizations and configurations. And there's a fair number of things that you can do with this, you know, and I'll show you in a second. We have a couple of examples of what you can do with this thing today, but if your basic intent is, hey, I want to make sure that certain content types or certain doc libraries get created, that there's certain lists that are made available to my end users, then frankly, this can meet the bill. But what we have learned in talking to customers and in our own experience, there are some limitations, and we'll talk about some of those limitations in a moment. So actually, let me just show it to you real quick, because I think it will become a lot clearer. Now I don't remember which one I was on. Was I three?
Yep.
I was three, thank you. Awesome. All right, so let's talk a bit about what the Safe Site as Template feature is here. Safe Site as Template feature, by the way, for those of you who have attended some of the other SharePoint talks, where we are now provisioning a group-connected team site, that actually is a slightly different flavor of our site templates, and so it does not have the Safe Site as feature available yet. So what I'm showing you here is actually a classic team site. So there's a classic team site. I've done some lightweight configuration to it just so you guys can see some of the things, so I can illustrate some of the things that you can do here. But effectively what I have here is I have a site. I've actually modified the homepage. Yes, I have gotten rid of that getting started tile web part that a lot of people leave around. I put a project summary here. I've got an announcement list here that I've named research leads. Following on the theme that we've been sharing with you guys in our demos, this is a clothing company. I'm imagining that I am perhaps the product lead for a new line of clothing where we're looking at new materials, and I want to be able to have my team be able to very easily create sites that are going to provide a select set of document templates that they can use when they're doing investigations on new fabrics for our fall product line. So in this case, I've created a site where I've got like a project summary, I've got some research leads, and I've got a default document that actually has this new product investigation PowerPoint template that they can use. And incidentally, I can also even make this thing available as a modern page, which you saw Jeremy demonstrate. That's a feature we'll be rolling out soon where you can actually not only take an existing team site and build modern publishing pages, but even set them as the new homepage. So that's what I've done here. This is the exact same website, but I've actually created another page. I'm just showing another instance where it's a homepage. So if I wanted to go and create a template, I've actually already gone ahead and created these templates. I would go into the backstage, the site contents page, and you'll see here that I have the ability to go and create a subsite. And what this does is this invokes a standard subsite creation page. And what you'll see here is I actually have gone ahead and already created a couple of these templates. And you'll see that they show up, these files that are already living in the local site solution gallery as available templates for me to draw upon. So this custom tab only appears if I have actually created these solutions and uploaded them to the local site collection gallery. And real quickly, the way that I did that was, if I go back up to the site settings page here, you'll see here that because this is a team site, which, by the way, I have not invoked the publishing infrastructure feature, because the publishing feature is not supported in this feature. You can kind of get around it if you know the back door, but it's not recommended or supported. So I have not invoked publishing. So this is still very much team site features. And I have the ability to go and save the site as a template. And what it's doing is it's literally taking a snapshot of the current configuration. The main decision that I have besides naming the template, the template package, is deciding whether or not I want it to carry any of the content. So you'll see here that there is an option to include content. We'll talk a little bit more about this later, but that is another limitation. You only get 50 megs at your disposal. So you have to be judicious and thoughtful there when you're building that template, okay?
One comment quickly on Sean's. While you were showing the subsite creation page, that's pretty classic page, isn't it?
Yes,
so
it
the end
is.
User experience isn't actually that optimal. So especially if you compare it even to the modern site contents page. And for the end users, it might be really, really difficult to find that actual site template, what they're looking for. And they might then create an out-of-the-box team site, and then they're wondering, where is my branding? Why isn't my settings there?
Yes.
Because they were not clever enough to go to the custom tab.
Yep, excellent. And that's also foreshadowing, by the way, of what he's going to show in a second. So I'm going to go ahead and kick this off, but I'm also not going to make us stare at the screen for a while, because I do want to illustrate one other thing here. And many of you probably have experience with this. When you go ahead and create some new site, let's go ahead and create a new site. I'm a project manager. I'm looking into minerals as fabrics. So that's a very interesting concept. Let's go ahead and create this site. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the custom tab, and in this case, I'm going to go ahead and create my product investigation subsite. So I'm going to grab that package and select it. And what I'll show it to you in a minute what I've done, but let me just go ahead and kick this thing off. The reason why I wanted to get this thing kicked off is because another area of investment we've been doing in this space is we actually we want to get the whole site creation experience to be faster. We want to reduce the latency of time that it takes for either you as an admin or a team of site creators, or if you enable self-service site creation, which I'll make the plug later on in this talk that you do so. We want it to be fast. And we've actually, the engineering team back in Redmond has been spending a lot of energy to really reduce the footprint of the modern group connected site template to actually provision it much faster. So this is going to take a while. We're not going to hang out on the screen. I'm going to show you one of the done sites I made earlier. This one is Metals Are Cool. And what this is, and you'll see here, if we look at the if we look at the URL here, you'll see that, get rid of that and try that one more time. The URL is under Modern Textiles called Metals One. So this is a subsite that's under this collection. And you'll see here that it actually carried most of this stuff forward. I actually included the content in this particular package. So it included this new product overview template. So every time I spawn another one of these subwebs, not only do I get a consistent structure and look and feel, and so not so much look and feel because I haven't really done any branding or design to this, but at least I get the consistent layout and experience here. But I also get select documents and also select, in this case, I have a list here that has a specific schema so that all that stuff is pre-created. The user gets this site, they don't have to do anything. They can just go ahead and get running. The other thing that I've done here is I have another site here with this guy here called Future Fabrics Are Us. If we go ahead and click that subweb, you'll see here that this one is also built off of the modern package. So what I did there was same type of thing where I created a site template package, saved it to the local solution gallery, but before I saved this one, I actually set my parent site collection with a different homepage, in this case, a modern publishing page, and then created the site there. So now when that subsite gets created, it inherits this layout, look, and feel, okay? If we go back to this guy, Minerals is Fabrics, check it out. Okay, it was done. That's not too bad, a couple minutes. But there it is, and you'll see that this doesn't look like an out-of-box team site, kind of does, but it looks a little bit different. You'll see there's a slightly different structure there, and as I mentioned before, there's my project summary, there's my pre-formatted list, and there's a document library with a piece of content in it ready to use. So this is all great. So you're now asking yourself, Sean, why are you spending so much time showing us this? Because, guys, this is what's in the product today, but it's also, as I think I've alluded to and as Vesa has started to allude to, it is not without its challenges. One of the things that's really important to point out here, and Vesa's gonna point out a couple things here as well, is there's a maintenance challenge with these things. When I create these packages and save them to the local solution gallery, that's a point in time, that's a snapshot. Imagine if the boss came and said, hey, we need to actually change that project investigation template, or we need you to collect some additional information when your product managers are off doing investigations of new fabrics for the fall line. They're like, oh, okay. Well, I don't really have an easy way to go and update either A, the package, or B, the N number of sites that I may have created off of that package, okay? And part of that is because it is a point in time snapshot. And what you'll see here is when you go and create that package, what happens is that onet.xml file gets essentially created at that time, and it is there. So then what happens is two things. Either one, I get new requirements from my boss, or Microsoft comes along and says, hey, we've got some great new features and updates for you guys that you might want to take advantage of. I don't have an easy way to roll that stuff into the template package. And so what happens here is over time, as changes start to happen, either on the service itself or because of evolving or changing business requirements, I've now got a stale site template that doesn't fully fulfill my business needs, okay?
And really that comes down on the fact that if you, After a while, when you save the site template, as Sean mentioned, it's a snapshot of a time. Whatever has been added to the out-of-the-box theme site after that, when that snapshot was done, is not actually on the template.
Right.
What it means is that after a while, you're in a situation that if you create an out-of-the-box theme site, as an example, that might have all the goodness and new functionalities, but if your end users are using that old template, they're not getting that.
Right.
And that's then causing additional questions, and why aren't we actually seeing all of this greatness and goodness because you're saying that it's available. And that's really, and plus the your optional own customizations and all of that. But that's really the key issue with the site templates.
Absolutely.
Which we can address, and we will be addressing that in the future with the product as well.
Yes, absolutely. I'm calling this out as big issue number one, and we have some short-term and longer-term things that we want to look at there. So in summary, really, for doing some basic, you know, sub-site creation, if you have a very limited scope and maybe it's a point in time type of thing, this could probably be fine. But let's be clear though, there are limits on the amount of content that you can package up in this WSP file, in the site template file. There's a restricted feature set. You know, there are certain features like running workflows and certain lists like version history and things like that that are not gonna be carried over, so if that matters, you should be aware that you're gonna lose those things. And there's also, as I mentioned earlier, the design assets, completely separate, you know, experience that you need to tackle with a separate solution. And, you know, from an admin perspective, I think it's worth pointing out that, you know, in this day and age, there's been some great talks this week on some of the many things that we're trying to provide for you as a site administrator, as well as a content owner on the platform, in terms of how is your content landing with your end users? How is it being used? How are your sites being used? Analytics in this day and age, and usage of the platform and the service are very important, not just to Microsoft, but also to all of you guys and all of our customers. And not having that visibility and that analytics is something that we're certainly starting to address, and that's not available in these templates. From an end user perspective, I also think too that you saw that experience. That's already pointed out, it's a bit dated, but it also is a bit opaque and hidden. And it's one of the things as we are modernizing not just the end user facing experience, but even the places where I may be a site creator, we want to make that experience more beautiful and intuitive as well. And so just, you know, really looking at it from the technical implementation and some of those limitations, as well as just from a user experience perspective, we want to address all of those concerns. But something to keep in mind. So now that we've spent about 10 minutes kind of telling you, hey guys, here's what's in the product, here's some things you can do, here's some scenarios where it does fulfill. Now Sean just told us a whole bunch of stuff that the thing doesn't do that well. Darn, what's next? There are other options, right? And you've probably heard us, as well as Vesa, as well as out in documentation, talk about remote provisioning. So let's talk about that.
Let's talk about that one.
Why don't you go ahead and draw
a slide. Yeah. So remote provisioning, just to clarify what it actually means. So remote provisioning is something which we came up with a while back as a model which is actually addressing those issues which the site template has. Mm-hmm. So the snapshot issue, the fact that when you create a template or a new site based on a template, you're lacking all of the latest and greatest capabilities from out-of-the-box sites. And what the remote provisioning is essentially meaning is that we take slightly step back from an end-user perspective, and we actually provision and create the sites using a remote APIs. And what it means is that it's a capability which is not available natively within a product, but you can actually provision site collections and sites using either Code or PowerShell using this kind of a model. And it's fully aligned on the future direction where we're heading as well.
That's right.
So the templates which are created using the remote provisioning thinking are actually more future-proof rather than these classic site templates which are coming from the safe side as a template. We do understand that it's slightly different. Well, the engine itself and the remote provisioning thinking is not an end-user capability, and we need to have that end-user capability. And that's coming as well as part of the product. But for now, this is a more a customization administrative tooling, or it requires additional investments to be deployed to be able to take advantage. One of the instances of the remote provisioning, there's multiple actually engines out there, is the BMP provisioning engine. The BMP means patterns and practices, it's SharePoint patterns and practices, which has been an open source community initiative for a few years. And you can actually have a look on the code. You can download the code if you don't like it, or if you can submit issues around the code as well. It's not a product feature yet. So this is right now the best solution if you want to have full enterprise flexibility and full enterprise level control on what's going to happen and how the end users are going to use your or create their own site collection using the self-service site collection provisioning way. And I'm going to show that one in practice in a second. Originally, the engine, PMP provisioning engine, explicitly was released in spring 2015. We do have more than 500 tenants which have been using this in a SharePoint Online for the past 3 months. So it is actually production proven. We have a lot of big customers who are using this. 3M is going to do their story around the PMP as well. And so it's a kind of a future proof for you to take advantage as well. You can use it with the managed code, which means that you write Visual Studio Code as a provider hosted add-in or as an Azure application, or you can use PowerShell. So there's PowerShell commandlets. So if your process is that somebody calls an admin, hey, Sean, can you give me a site collection? And Sean creates the site collection by manually or creates that using PowerShell, you can take advantage of the engine as well.
Right.
And the key point of the provisioning engine is that you're able to extract also these templates from existing sites in the same way as the safe site as a template. But it supports publishing, it supports branding, it supports whatever you put in the site. It's a pretty feature complete from that perspective. So you are able to dedicate a site, which is your live template site, and delegate the responsibility of your site template to a, let's say, information worker who is using browser to design the site. And then we agree that, okay, that's our version 1.0. Let's use that as our site for all of the other sites as well. The beauty of the engine is also that if at some point you want to evolve that template, your, let's say, HR owns that template site, they can actually go and do the modifications within the template site, and you can extract a new version, and you're able to apply to that existing site, and they are getting reflected with the changes. So there is a real kind of a version model with the remote provisioning thinking as well. One of the kind of instances, or how it actually works, what I just pretty much said, is that as an end user, you're able to create your template using a browser. You dedicate a site collection or a site where the end user goes, sets the branding, sets the logo, sets the description, creates taxonomy fields, content types, list libraries, whatever is needed. And then we agree that let's use that as our template. The engine supports then extraction, which means that whenever we create a new site, we always start with out-of-the-box theme site or out-of-the-box site. The beauty of the process is that whenever we as a Microsoft evolve these out-of-the-box sites, your new site collections are getting all of the advantages as well. But then whenever we create the site collection, we take that out-of-the-box, create a new out-of-the-box site, but then we apply the template on top of it. So you get all of your branding, taxonomy fields, content types, list libraries, whatever is on your template, available on top of the site, the theme site, as an example.
Many of the things that we don't allow you to easily get out of a safe site.
This is addressing pretty much, many of the things or all of the things which we don't have natively in the product right now as a safe site, as a template experience. And that's why we kind of want to promote this as if you are getting stuck on the capabilities of safe site as a template, have a look on the BMP provisioning engine and the tooling around that, because that might get you absolutely unblocked until the capabilities are introduced within the product.
That's right.
So one of the things what we've done within the PMP initiative, which is the SharePoint Patterns and Practices initiative, is that we do have a ready-to-use PowerShell commandlets, but we also actually have a ready-to-use a starter kit or a reference solution. So you as a customer or partner or whoever you are, but if you need to provide a self-service site collection creation tooling, we actually have it for you. It has a default UI, it has a default branding, but you can actually configure that. So you're able to download this down, you're able to follow up the setup and configuration guidance, and after that you do have a self-service site collection creation tooling, which is taking advantage of the remote provisioning engine capabilities. And I'm going to show some of those in practice as well. What the PMP partner pack, which is the starter kit, is showing also is that how do you replace the safe site as a template with the safe site as a remote template. so that you don't actually confuse your end users when they go create a subsite.
Right.
They don't fall back on that ugly UI. They don't fall back. They fall actually on the new modern UI, or let's say semi-modern UI, which is then providing those templates which you only want them to see. So the solution itself is configurable from that perspective as well. And also, it provides an admin capabilities of updating existing sites. So whenever you suddenly have a branding change, somebody changes the logo, it happens quite often, or somebody requires that, hey, we have a new content type which has to get deployed, or a taxonomy field, or a library to every single list or site, you can actually do that. You can update the template, and you can say, update existing sites, boom. And the solution is actually updating them for you. So let me show some of these in practice.
I was going to say, this sounds cool, Vesa. Let's show them.
Let's show that, indeed. So, and there we go. That was fast.
Uh-oh, did it go to sleep?
Yeah, it went to sleep. I was talking too much. It happens often, unfortunately. Oh, there we go. Hello, Windows works. Whee!
Nice.
Cool. So, like mentioned, the BMP Partner Pack right now, it has a default UI. What it means is that it might be looking, let's say, slightly ugly. From some of your opinion, it's debatable, obviously. But you can configure that. You can change the logos. You can change the fonts. You can change the images and all of that. So things are configurable. We know that this is a kind of an advanced scenario as well. So this is not really for information worker. You need to be able to deploy this to Microsoft Azure. And you need, if you want to have advanced configurations,
right.
You might need to open up a Visual Studio. So it's more a partner play, IT organization play as well. But what it actually provides is that as an end user wants to create a site collection, we have a UI where the end user can go and create a site collection. And what it means is that we are asking the needed permissions or needed metadata around the site collection from the end user in the tool. And once again, if that's allowed within your company, if that's based on your policy. So as an end user, I go and I want to create a site collection. At least in Microsoft, we have this process available.
Yep.
What the solution is giving is our templates, what the end user can use. It's not showing any out-of-the-box templates. You as an administrator can configure what are those templates which are available. What's really cool about this reference solution is that, first of all, you're able to lock down only on your specific templates, but you're able to also go and use, open source third-party templates if that, once again, is allowed by within your company.
WordPress themes,
yes, that's one way of putting that. So in the BMP initiative, what we've done, and this was actually announced earlier today in the morning session, we do have an open source gallery for remote templates. So people will publish more and more open source templates, and you are able to take advantage of them within your SharePoint deployment as well. So if you want, you're able to enable this to the level where the end user goes to template selection, and then we want to find templates from the open source gallery. It's going to actually connect to that service. It's going to have a look on, do we have absence information, vacation information template, and you can actually create a site collection using that. And that's pretty cool. We don't have a humongous amount of those open source templates now, but we're looking into more contributions in the future as well. Now, going back on the let's say more enterprise scenario, you probably, some of the enterprises, they don't like that. So you can actually hide that capability. End user goes and requests a new site collection, and all of the needed information is then requested from the end user. It's pretty small actually on the screen, but what you can provide, the end user can provide the title of the site collection. It can provide the URL for the site collection. I'm not going to actually create one because it takes still some few minutes. We're going to work on that, right?
We are. So, not surprised for you guys.
And the end user can fill up additional metadata using this tool as well, like the site policy. He can actually select who are the administrators, and this is connected directly to your AD information. So I'm going to choose Paolo Pialorossi, who's one of the creators of the tool. And I can choose, for example, Erwin Van Hoonen, who's one of the brains behind of the engine as well. And then we can ask additional information. Well, maybe you don't want your end users to fill up the quota information, and you can hide all of that additional metadata from the selection. Now, when I click the next, or when I start this process, what's going to happen is that in the back end, there's going to Azure Web Chat is going to fire. That's going to create the site collection. Whenever the site collection is ready, the requester of the site collection will get an email that, hey, welcome, your site collection is ready with the right template.
Yep.
And let's go to that template. So in this case, it would have actually created this kind of a red template, which has custom branding. Well, it's red, well, not that custom. It could have had a theme. It could have had, well, even a custom master page, even though we don't recommend that, but it could have had, and that's realities of life as well.
Yep.
It has a custom title automatically on the site and all of that. And one beauty of the PMP partner pack, not directly in this, related on the provisioning, is that it also includes, let me see if I can actually zoom this, it also includes a responsive package for classic UI, so which is actually pretty cool. It actually adjusts the out-of-the-box theme sites and out-of-the-box experience to be responsive. But it's not a 100% bulletproof, and it's more like it's going to help you on getting stuff done before we get to that real responsive UIs, which are coming in the SharePoint as well. But I can get the menus in my mobile device available as well. Now, one of the things when we install the PMP partner pack or we start using that, I can go to the site settings, and within the site settings, we actually have a new link available, which is called Save Site as a Provisioning Template. And this has some of the capabilities what we want to implement also in a product.
That's right.
So Save Site as a provisioning template will redirect the user actually to that custom solution. So it's no longer SharePoint, and you can adjust the UI and all of that. But the beauty of this one is that you are able to save subsite and templates directly on a tenant level, not only on a site collection level. And what it means is that whenever an end user goes, let's see, if we go back on the site, whenever an end user goes to the site contents and clicks a new subsite, here we go, if we go to the new subsite, we reflect, and there we go. We are in the new subsite creation experience, and those templates which have been saved using that save site as a provisioning template, they are available for other people to use. Cross-tenant if needed, or only within a site collection if needed.
Yeah, Vesa's bringing up two really good points. One point, one observation. You guys might have seen that flash, that redirect. Right now we're implementing that with a custom action. We are actually looking at some other solutions and approaches to make that experience a little bit more seamless to allow users, because we understand folks need to override some of these experiences even at the subsite creation level. So that's, acknowledge that. But the other thing that I think is really important that I didn't even call out when I was showing you guys the Save Site as template earlier is if you still have a tenant admin, those templates, they're portable. That WSP package can be downloaded and shared across collections, but that becomes a very manual process, because when those packages get created and saved, they get saved to the local site collection solution gallery. So they're within that scope. So one of the things clearly as we move to the cloud, we're looking at ways that we can say, hey, how do we start to look at the tenant-wide scope and make that experience more seamless regardless of where the configuration is created, and more centrally store it so it's broadly available.
Okay? Cool.
Yeah.
But I think that sums up the PMP provisioning pack demo. Partner
awesome.
Pack demo. One thing what I want to mention quickly on that one, while we get our 3M people on the stage as well for the following slides, right?
Yes.
Is that we do absolutely acknowledge, it might be that you're an information worker, you're a SharePoint administrator, you're a SharePoint owner. You don't want to see customizations. You want to actually have a customizations deployed. In certain cases, it might be fine. In certain cases, it might be no. But this is a short-term solution for you to get enabling the capabilities which we will have in the product natively sooner or later. So if you have a massive need of having some sort of an enterprise-level control and a better control, you can get there using the stuff and community tooling, open-source tooling, which we are offering for you. And we do offer support in the sense of questions, answers, technical support on getting started on all of this stuff as well. There is a large community behind of this engine and remote provisioning tooling, and also the BMP Partner Pack, which is the reference solution, which will help you to get started as well. And 3M people, as an example, have built their own story around this one.
That's
so
right.
Let's switch to 3M.
Awesome. Thanks, Vesa. And thanks, everyone. Welcome, Suze. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. So Suze is here today from 3M. Let's see, make sure I do this right. There we go.
Yep.
Great.
You guys do have a talk over there.
You do, yes. to share with you guys some of the work that they are doing right now around, frankly, this entire site creation experience that we've been talking about today and how they're leveraging the PMP.
So I want to first thank Sean and Vesa for allowing us to come up and talk to you about our experiences with PNP. We started this journey about a year ago, right after they released, when we decided that we really needed to come up with a solution to migrate all of our on-premise information and content into the cloud. And as you can imagine, many of you who are moving into the cloud are looking at this giant beast of content that, what are you going to do with it? It's like a sprawl. You've got a million sites everywhere. Nobody knows who was owning it. And then so we had to go through an entire exercise of who are owning the site so we can figure out if we need to migrate it. Because do I really want to migrate 6 terabytes? Maybe not. Maybe there's 20% of those guys that we can get rid of. But it was a giant exercise to figure out who owned it. So we said, well, we don't want the sprawl anymore. What are we going to do when we move over to the cloud? So we did all of the usual exercises of, okay, let's go look at site templates. What do they got going on? Can we kind of control it through site templates? And then we said, well, maybe not. And all of those great, you know, things you guys were talking about just a few minutes ago, we started saying, well, let's take a step back. Let's figure out what is it that we're trying to do. How do we want to get there from here? And what are the objectives of how are we going to manage the sprawl? Because we don't want to impede people's ability to collaborate. We want to encourage collaboration, but yet we don't want them to go crazy out there either, right? So we came up with a couple of ideas. Let's see if I can get my thing to page down. Oh, technical difficulties.
Can you go in the slideshow mode?
Oh, is that what the deal is? I think it's projecting.
Oh. No.
It didn't change.
Yeah, let's go ahead and change it.
Okay, I think we have the weird thing that we have.
Which one are you on?
I'm 7.
You are 7, okay. Sorry, folks.
Sorry.
You might want to just speak to those.
I'll just speak to it.
Yeah.
I'll let you figure this out while I talk, and then we'll jump. Okay. So if you could imagine my slide up here that talks about what are our requirements. We wanted from an IT perspective to say, what are the requirements we want to do? First of all, we wanted to build a process that says, hey, we have a user who wants to collaborate. How do they want to collaborate? Right now, the structure is you have all of these different sites that we're going to consider like DNA, right? You have your team site DNA, and you have your project site DNA, and you have your blog site DNA, and you have all these different kinds of DNA. And for Microsoft doesn't have a real single DNA package at that time. They do now with the group story, but at that time we had to say, well, we have to kind of categorize what you want to do. So we want to give them the 3M experience, right? We want to make sure that they're tagging their content correctly. We want to make sure that we have a site owner and a backup site owner. We want to make sure that we have the templates that we're going to authorize and allow them to use that's going to give them the freedom to do what they need to do. It's getting closer.
Are we going to please?
Yay, thank you so much.
I'm just duplicating.
Okay. So, but we also wanted them to be able to save their sites as a template, right? Because as you guys were talking about earlier, people want that ability. But in the current implementation, we had only just a few site collections, and now we're sitting at like, you know, several hundred with 14,000 sites. We wanted them to be able to save their site templates across the different site collections so that we could better organize and secure our content. But we wanted them to keep a standard. And the next thing we needed to do is we needed to be able to say, okay, this site owner has now moved on to a different role within the company. How do I find all the sites that they own and transplant all of those sites to the new user that is going to start managing all these sites, right? Because it's very difficult to write a PowerShell. I don't know how many of you could write the PowerShell, but just go troll 14,000 sites, which takes several hours. figure out who are all the site owners. And oh, by the way, kid you not, we had sites with over 2,000 site owners. Kid you not. They could not figure out what to do. So everybody was a site owner, and we're like, whoa, that can't happen anymore. I'm like, what do you do with 2,000 site owners? I have no idea, but everybody was a site owner. So we had the gamut. We had the whole world. So one of the things that we want to talk about was we said, okay, we have these different actors for our request to site process. We want to make sure that we take into consideration the new site requesters. To put them on the training wheels and say, okay, you can kind of do this little bit over here, and we're going to kind of give you like a place to go. You have site collection owners who are like, okay, this is my land. You can't come in my house and move my furniture around, right? I am perfectly happy for you to come in and sit on my couch, and you can eat at my table, but you had better not move around my stuff, right? You have those site collection owners. So we wanted them to be able to say, this is my house. I'm going to approve each and every sub-site that's going to be created in my site collection. But on the other hand, you have site collection owners that are the opposite extreme who say, you can just go do whatever you want to. It is free. It's the 70s. It's all good, right? We can go have a great time over there. So we had to take care of these two extremes. One way over here, I'm free for all, and one over here, I'm very controlled. The next one is the IT admin. Poor IT admin guys who are dealing with these two polar opposites, one yelling in one ear. It's kind of like the good guy on one shoulder and the bad guy on the other shoulder. They're like, I don't know what to do. I'm a rubber band. So we had to come up with a way to say, you site owner, you're doing all the things right. You have the right governance. But you site owner, we need to talk and we need to have a conversation. So we have all those kind of user personas. And then you have, oh, by the way, corporate communications who say thou shalt and will, right? It will have the exact logo and it will look just like this. And you're going to use the special font everywhere. And I'm like, special font everywhere? No, don't tell me special font everywhere. Site setting, special font? No. So, okay, we're feeling the pain. I'm feeling your pain, right? So we have all these different personas and we said, this is too much. How are we going to get this done? So we created a RAS process. And we call it our pizza builder just because we love food. I don't know, we all call it pizza. So imagine, if you will, you have the dough. Right? Everybody likes the dough. Some people like wheat dough. Some people like, you know, regular dough. Then you got the pepperoni and the cheese and the stuff that you're going to stick on the top, right? So this is our flow. So basically, if you start up here on the upper left, that's our little page that says, hey, what do you want to do today? Let me guide you through that process. Then the second thing says, remember the site collection administrator who says, hey, I want to govern my sites. Nobody does anything. You can only sit in my chair. And then, oh, you can do whatever you want. That approval process kicks in. And it says, hey, some user has requested a site on your property. Do you want to allow that to happen, yes or no? If the answer is no, then it kicks back to the user, hey, I'm sorry, you didn't get a site. But if the answer is yes, go ahead, I have a site for you, then what we have done is we've created a remote event receiver. And this is where you guys were talking about, there's a little bit of advanced coding going on in here. I will tell you that was a little bit of a challenge, especially when we were using PMP 1.0. But basically what it's going to do is it's going to receive that information, say, okay, I've got a new site to create. Now, remember I was telling you just a second ago about the pizzas, right? We don't have very sophisticated users, and nor do we have a whole lot of IT staff who can manage stuff. So what we have is this remote event receiver goes to what we call our template sites. I wish you guys had that new feature, by the way,
right,
way back then, because we had to build all this from scratch. Just saying. Okay, it was a good idea. So anyway, we have this master template section, right? Master template section says, hey, I'm going to create a site. It's going to look like this. It's going to have all this DNA stuff. It's going to have pepperoni, cheese, and whatever. And the event receiver is going to go with PowerShell, reach into that source site, grab it, and create a new one. So it's going to just be our pizza builder. And oh, by the way, we have the Happy Meals because, of course, we're all about food. And you have the predefined pizzas that you can choose, right? I want it to look like this, just like you were showing just a second ago.
Right, right.
So the next thing is once the site gets provisioned, it goes to the user, hey, your site's done. And then, oh, by the way, we have reported all this. We have a management of all of the fields and the processes and whatever. And so now we can say, hey, I've got 50 sites that have Suze as the site owner, and oh, by the way, she's changing roles, so we need to go find somebody else to manage all this stuff. So this is kind of the general flow, and what I'd like to do, if you guys would allow me, is to show you just a little bit about how we make this happen. So assuming that the demo gods are going to be nice to me today.
I was going to say, Sue, show them.
I'm working on it. I hope the demo gods are going to be nice to me today. So now I'm going to do the whole thing that you guys did just a second ago and say, well, our interface isn't all that pretty because we spent all the time getting all the plumbing working. So we're working on making it beautiful, but it's not beautiful yet because all we care about is it actually working. So this is our entry page. Every site has a custom action sitting on it that says, if you want to request a site, from the gear button, from the hidden thing in site settings, from all site contents, your link is overwritten. You do not get to use the out-of-the-box site create. We have overwritten that link to point to this, and we give them a little introduction that says, hey, you're here to request a site, blah, blah, blah. When they click on the request a site, it's, again, a little simple form. Looks very much like your guys' form. I think you guys were watching what was going on. I don't know. But anyway, we have all of this metadata that we are asking for them, because what's more important than just the site title, which I admit isn't very nice, and the primary owner, but we want two, we don't want one, the primary and the secondary, but we also want our own internal metadata, because every single site is tagged with metadata content that tells me about that site. Is this a classified site? Is this restricted? Is this part of division XYZ? Is it a posting note something? I mean, who knows what this thing is about, but I want you to classify it. In fact, I require you to classify it. So this form goes through and says, are you creating a community site? Because we all know community sites are a little special. Is this a site collection? What's your parent site link? Where are you wanting to put your stuff? All the way down to the key elements down here at the bottom, which are our main drivers for all of our content. So when we decided to go from on-prem to in the cloud, we said, no more Wild West. Everybody gets to tag their content. So we're tagging it by country. Our division, our drivers, our taxonomies that are required and mandatory for us. You pick your own pizza toppings to put there, but this is what we did. So if I were to fill this out, because it takes a little while to actually run, and I have to go get approval from someone, and she's sitting right there, so I really can't do that quite yet. So we're going to pretend like I filled it out, push a submit button, and magic happened and the site was created. So the next thing I want to show you, though, is our template, right? So remember they were talking about and they were showing just a second ago how the new stuff has, like, hey, you can save this site as a template, which I really wish I had. We actually created a master site. And this master site has all of the DNA that's required for us to deploy a site. Because literally, if I were to go in there, and I'm not going to because it might cause pain and strife, to make any sort of change, I come into, let's say, a 3M basic team site. This is just a general run-of-the-mill team site, nothing special. Our gear button, nothing special, except we do a bunch of stuff on the post-provisioning. This is actually, whatever change I make here is actually going to get made on the destination. So what our PMP script is doing is live when they hit the submit button. It reaches into this site. It does the PowerShell to extract all of the XML that's the definition, and then it pushes it back up into the new site that was created, along with our additional special sauce that says this is a 3M site. So for example, if I were to also show you a team site, or excuse me, a project site, you would see that it's got special things all set up. We've got tabs, we put some custom stuff in there, got some custom lists, some example stuff. So when people get these sites, they're like ready to go. All they have to do is start opening it up and using it. They don't have to figure out what do I have to do, what list do I need to create. So now what I'd like to do is spend 1 minute telling you kind of where we're wanting to go. Where we're wanting to go is using all of the new stuff that they're starting to work with, we're actually starting to work with as well. But we're wanting to provision a whole different set of stuff. We're wanting to provision publishing sites. We're wanting to provision more intranet style things. But as we all know, we're not supposed to modify the master page. So this particular page that you're looking at right now is a completely skinned site. It is a publishing site, but it is not modifying the master page, not even one little speck. If you look behind the scenes, it is a Seattle master page. And the way that we're doing that is we're injecting using custom action. We're injecting into a little bit of JavaScript into the page layouts. Mm-hmm. And we have the PNP provisioning, which is allowing us to make all of the plumbing possible so that everything that you see, it doesn't really look like a publishing site, is done with that modification of a master page. So we are planning to make our site look a little bit better from the front end, from the PNP side. So we would have example tabs so that it would give you a little bit more information. Tabs maybe across the top, stuff on the side. But all of our intranet style, those publishing pages, those are actually starting to come through the PNP because of some of the latest enhancements that they've done.
Awesome. Thank you, Suze. That's great. Thank you very much. And we actually planned this, I mean, because that's a great segue into some of the stuff that we're going to start doing in the future to make partners like 3M and all you guys have to do less of that work to enable some of those things. Now, I know many of you this week have seen a lot of the new self-service site provisioning experience that it's not available yet in production, but we will be rolling it out before year's end to you folks on O365. But that's just step one. Really, it's just the beginning of a much longer journey. That's really one of the reasons why we want to talk with you today and share with you some of the work that we're looking at, how we're going to extend that site creation and site templating experience as we go forward. So you guys have seen this slide probably about 200 times this week. But it's important because it really does underscore, you know, a very important theme of how we're reinventing SharePoint and modernizing it. And it's really about making it mobile, responsive, work across, you know, any device, and also to be intelligent. I mean, even some of the stuff that Sue showed that they're working on, you know, imagine we have heard from you guys at the booth and in other talks how important it is to not only make it much easier, intuitive for you guys to build the types of sites for your users, but also make sure that you're not just arbitrarily allowing users to create sites. At the end of the day, I want you guys to feel comfortable and confident that you can turn on self-service site creation, put the right dials in place, and have your users confidently go and create the sites that they need, and not worry about how did this work or how much SharePoint do I know or not know, and actually just start using the capabilities that we're providing. So part of that is really just taking advantage of even the intelligence that we're pushing into the product to even help your users understand, hey, do you even need to have that site? Because maybe there's one that already exists. So this is also another slide you guys have probably seen. This is the product roadmap. Stuff to the left are the things that we've been working on a lot this year. Stuff in Q4 you'll see is what will be coming out now and or right after Ignite. I wanted to highlight three things in particular because one of them, as I mentioned, is the stuff that you've seen this week around site creation. And then also some of the stuff that we're gonna be working on in the next part of next year. And that's gonna be around simple, fast site creation, publishing sites, and then what are we starting to do around making it extensible? Because obviously, I know I'm gonna hear this refrain like, hey, I love the new site template that you guys are giving us. It's beautiful, it's responsive, it works, has like all this great client-side, you know, functionality, but I still need to do X, Y, and Z. And we haven't really made those configurations available for you to configure it yet. So the way that we really started looking at this was taking a step back and looking at, hey, before we can give you extensibility in site templates, we need to take a look at the site creation experience. So obviously, one of the things that we're doing is we're connecting a group to a site collection, and that becomes the new default experience as opposed to creating a subweb under the root site collection. We also know that, as you saw in both Vesa's demo and my demo, going through the existing tech, making a site today actually can take quite a bit of time. We've actually, a lot of the engineering team back in Redmond has been spending a lot of energy and cycles doing two things. Really improving the infrastructure to reduce the amount of time it takes to create a site, but then also reducing the footprint of the base site template that we're giving you. We recognize that, you know, we'll be the first to admit that we were giving you guys a template that was activating a whole bunch of features that we were making you wait for, whether you use them or not. So what we really wanted to do is kind of change the model and say, hey, let's make sure that we can get you going, get your users being productive quickly by giving you a site fast, and then let's start, again, extending this remote provisioning metaphor by even doing post-configuration. So let's start activating those features that you may need after we've given you the site, okay? So really just kind of moving the timing of the things around. The other thing we've been looking at is tyranny of choice. We recognize that a lot of users have given us feedback, hey, I don't want to get locked into a template. And I also don't like how I have to go and when I start provisioning the template, and then I enable that publishing feature, all of a sudden the ability to save that thing just got taken away from me. So we wanted to fix that. And part of how we're doing that is really by modernizing the site experience and also just kind of building on that by giving you guys out-of-box templates that are going to really meet those needs, but then also start having the extensibility hooks so that you can configure them for your own business process. And finally, another thing I know you guys have seen in some other talks this week and I think at the keynote was around governance. Really starting to make governance just be a part of the product so that you can actually start to classify a site if that's something that's important for your business. And then initially, this is our first bid there. The things that we'll start looking into as well is how do we then start putting the teeth of a policy behind that classification so that you can actually start saying, hey, when I have my user select a high business impact site, I can confidently know that the back-end policy that's attached to that is actually going to start flipping the right switches so my customer doesn't have to. As much as I love the views and forms that 3M and others have built, I also want to make sure that we can give you the right balance of dials on the front end and the back end so that your customers don't have to go through this complex provisioning process just to create a site and get going. So let's look at some of that a bit. This was the experience today. Looked pretty familiar. It's nothing if not minimalist, I will give it that. And this is what we're trying to turn it into. And you'll notice here, one of the things that hasn't been called out with this new experience is we're only giving you one choice right now. Get that. That's intentional. It's because that's what we have right now. So what we do is rather than giving you a menu of templates to choose from, we're actually jumping you straight into the experience where you can provision a new modern team site. But you can imagine that once we start providing additional templates, or even perhaps providing a way for you to expose your own default templates to users, that this could be preceded by a menu that would help guide the user to create the right type of site that they need. I want to call out that other point too. We are decoupling this flow from the override. What I mean by that is right now, for those of you who are familiar with using PMP or overriding the default site creation experience, is what we, if in order for you to exert your own business process and form, we require you to put in that override URL in tenant admin settings and essentially call up your own custom form. You're taking over the entire process. What we want to do is decouple that. We want to actually keep the provisioning piece really more in the purview of the product so that we can do two things for you. One, keep it lean and fast, but also that we can continue to evolve and improve on that without it impacting your experience. We want you guys to focus on the things that you are great at, which is what is the business process I need, what are the features I need, and focus your energy and effort on building those templates. So let's take a quick look at this. I know a lot of you guys have seen this before. So what we're gonna do is, I'm just gonna fly through it very quickly if I can remember, which one was I on again? I'm three,
here
excellent.
We go.
Okay, all right, super. So you've seen this, this is the new SharePoint site. Page, and it's a default experience. The new default experience has been rolled out 100% to prod. We have a create site option here, and what we're doing is we're doing some additional administrative work. This feature has not been rolled out. It will be rolled out in the next in the coming months before year's end. And some of the things that we're doing is not only getting that experience out to you guys, but also putting some administrative hooks in there so that we can do one of two things. We can either A, allow you to set the right provisioning experience that you want, that you're comfortable with, and B, if you have already done some type of override or have some custom experience, we don't want to break your flow, but we would like to see if there's a way that we can either A, complement it, or B, you can say, nope, I'm not ready for your guys' stuff yet until I get my, you know, ducks in a row and have a chance to look at that. Let me just scope your experience to nobody at all or a select number of users until I'm ready to really roll that out. But what that rollout looks like right now is that we're updating that basic form with, and now it's gonna take forever. See, I knew it was gonna go to sleep. Sorry about that. All right, so here's the new form. Looks pretty basic, doesn't look that different except we've got a fun graphic and a same text box there. But actually what is different here is you'll notice that as soon as I start typing, we're doing a bunch of things. One, we're actually associating this with a group, and so we're giving you the opportunity to see that a group is going to get created and the ability to edit that. You'll also see that there's some other information there around privacy settings and classification. Those are some of the optional settings that we will start to roll out in support of governance, and also just other settings that we'll make available to you to configure or enable as your business requires. And you'll notice here that if you see here the values that we have on this particular site in this team site classification, I've had a lot of questions this week about like, hey, what do you guys, those values don't work for my business. Don't worry. That right now, these values that we're providing here, it's managed by an AAD property that's actually empty by default. So this service isn't, this option isn't even available to you unless you want it to be. And by doing, what you do is you actually will write the values that are appropriate for your business process into that property. They then become available in our form, and then they also get stamped onto the site during the creation process. So let's take a look at that. I'm gonna keep this as public. I'm gonna go ahead and make this an internal use site. You'll see that we've done some other things that Jeremy in yesterday's team site session and others have talked about, where you can even set a custom usage guideline URL so you can build that page and actually have it be a part of the experience. We also have this option here, see other options. Again, we want you guys to feel comfortable and confident about using this experience, but don't want to break anything you may already have in place that's custom. That would be an option to provide that URL to still direct users, perhaps to create your custom business sites or even classic non-group connected sites. So let's go ahead and create this site. I have an option here because I am connecting this modern team site to a group to add members. I will draw your attention, normally we don't like to do this, but this session is about provisioning and templates. That button there, notice that what it was doing, well, if you saw, it was actually spinning the site. And because I just took 5-10 seconds too long to tell you that I was gonna show you that, the site's already created, okay? How cool is that? So I can go ahead and hit finish. I don't have to add owners unless, of course, I have a policy that dictates I need a second owner. That can also be asserted and enforced through this form. But if I go ahead and hit finish, then what we've done is we're gonna send you to that site. It's already created, group's already created, and you're ready to roll, okay?
Yay.
And this
but
is-
that was fast, I have to say. That's
that was fast,
fast,
right?
That's really,
I mean,
impressive.
That's even on a demo tenant, right? Yeah. I mean, that was fast, yeah? Yeah. And we wanna make sure that we keep that fast, even as you guys start to add your custom configurations on top of that. We want to make sure that we're providing a baseline that's fast and also making sure that we're helping you optimize the customizations that you add on top of that. So what does this journey look like? Like I said, we're just in the beginning. We've just started the team collaboration, and this is the experience I just walked you through. You'll see here in these other two rows that what we're going to be doing in the coming year is, in addition to releasing this new site provisioning experience, we're going to start rolling out some additional templates. There's work that's already happening around publishing. And then finally, we're also looking at some of the smart recommendations we can help during the site creation process, but then also providing you guys with the right extensibility hooks to either take net new solutions or even things that you existing currently have and start, you maybe even built on PMP. You both heard Vesa and I talk about this during the talk today, that we want to make sure that for those of you who've already started to make the investments that we're telling you about are supported patterns available to you to do more than what's in the product today, that we continue to honor those and help you as we roll out this functionality in the product, that you have essentially an upgrade path and a backwards compat path. So Vess is going to talk about one of those things that we're working on. That's around webhooks.
So one thing that Sean mentioned already, so we've started the work with team collaboration, and the step one for the customizations to support for that one is actually that there will be a webhook. And I'm going to explain how it's actually going to work. But basically, what we're offering as a step one, whenever the stuff is actually available and ready, is that you are able to customize, post-customize, what will happen to that site, which Sean just showed. So essentially, there's only one template. You select the template, and then that fires a webhook. So let's actually have a look on that. So this is a relatively kind of a technical clarification of what happens. But as a tenant administrator or as a, let's say, a customer partner or whoever, you will deploy a web API somewhere in Microsoft Azure, or web APIs could be hosted anywhere. It's not a technology specific functionality. But we need to have a web API. We need to have an endpoint waiting for somewhere about the event that the site has been created. After that, tenant administrator goes and associates this webhook to the site-created event within a tenant pod. And whenever then the end user actually creates the site and we walk through the site process, we click the finish, or actually before that, web API will be fired, and we will get essentially a message which is saying, hey, site is ready for you to apply customizations or brandings or whatever is needed.
Right.
And at that point, we can still take advantage, for example, the remote provisioning techniques, all of these additional APIs. So we're able to go back on the site and do needed modifications, adjust the sites, content types, lists, libraries, whatever is your preferred scenario. But this is the step number one for the out-of-the-box theme site customization scenario.
Absolutely.
And then we evolve from there after that.
And that's it. That's where we are right now. That's where we're going. What I would love, these are just things you guys all know about. Fast Track, I think Jeremy got surprised by this yesterday too. I saw these in my deck as well. And join the tech community. So this is the thing I actually want to focus on, is you guys all know about the tech community. For those of you who've been on the IT Pro Network, we are listening and we love having conversations with you guys. We want your feedback, we want your input. What makes sense here? What are the things that you need? Really, we have found that it really helps us prioritize some of the things that we want to get move quickly on these things and make sure that we're making the right investments to get you guys moving forward on this modern platform as quickly as possible. So please let us know what we're doing, what we should be doing better or faster. And thank you again for your time this afternoon.
And also, just have to say the techcommunity.microsoft.com. If you have any questions around the remote provisioning, how do I set it up? I couldn't follow up. What's the process? What's the URL? Use that. Go to the SharePoint group. Go to the SharePoint developer group.
Awesome.
Ask questions. We have engineers. We have our MVPs watching on those groups, and they can help you on those questions because we want you to be successful on using that intermediate model before we have a native product level capability available.
And we're going to work as fast as we can to get that there.
But thank you, everybody.
Now you can clap.
Thank you.
All right. Awesome.